David, I mean, you close and you try and assess the situation and reopen, but that's a 2 or 1 or 2 day closure or whatever. Closing for 2 weeks or 15 days is a different matter. And it's an unknown. As I said, there's no definite position that we will be only closed for 2 weeks. Unless we can see a criteria of reopening, we are going to assume that the objective of saving lives will be achieved. Based on what is going to be done. But there's no guarantee that we'll only be closed for 2 weeks. We are going to do everything we can as a business sector to assist government in their work. But we still have the fear that this thing could develop into a longer closure period without any measurement or criteria for definite success. One of the things that I would like to ask on behalf of the entire private sector is that all Barbadians fully cooperate with the government at this time, and especially people in the communities that the testing and the survey team is going to be entering into the communities and into people's homes. The only this thing to make this thing worthwhile, all Barbadians must cooperate and allow the testing, these survey teams and testing teams to do the work. Otherwise, we are just spinning the top in mud. You know, people have you. We, as I said previously, we have to ask why people are fearful of going to get tested earlier, and we got to make sure that this fear is overcome, and the people going into the communities to do the work are allowed to do the work that is required to bring about the success of saving lives. We like to see measurement criteria because it gives us more targets to try and achieve. But we are going to do our utmost to support the government in their regard. Oh, even though we didn't agree with the closure, and I want to make that quite clear, we are part of a social partnership and we will work with government and labor to ensure that there is success going forward.
Can I add, David, that we are also very concerned about the economic fallout because obviously economic fallout impacts health as well. And so we are agreeing that we want Barbadians to cooperate so that this does not have to be a protracted period of time. We also want Barbadians to help each other to get back to that community spirit where we share what we have with each other. If you have mangoes and I have breadfruits, we share. Okay, and if we can go back to adopting families and helping those who are less fortunate around us, we need to do that too. We also want to see some helplines established for the vulnerable in each community because economic vulnerability also leads to health challenges. And, you know, we want to be able to see that everybody who needs economic help and who needs food and who needs all these things impact health as well. And so we do understand that the from an economic point of view, that this has to be a very well and thought out and measured position.
How have your members in BAMP fared through all of this?
Well, obviously, our medical private medical practice and practices in general would also have been impacted by it. We are trying to do our best and trying to assist in every way that we can with whatever national efforts are out there. We have had to change our practices in many instances. We cannot allow numbers inside the practice. We have to reduce. We have very strict protocols, and we're going to, in the coming days, reissue those protocols which we issued last year. But it does have an impact. Some people have had to come up to speed very quickly with things like telemedicine and, you know, how to practice safely. There are members of the medical community who themselves are vulnerable and who on a normal day-to-day basis, the accepted risk level is fine. But now with COVID-19, even older members have begun to close their practices and decide, well, it's not worthwhile to me to continue in this environment. So yes, it has had a big impact on many doctors and doctors' offices as well. And of course, we are small businesses, so obviously we feel the impact as well.
You've been listening to the president of the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, epidemiologist Dr. Linda Williams, and the head of the Private Sector Association, Mr. Ed Clark, speaking via recording with David Ellis. This is the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brown Stats. I'm Corey Lane, your moderator. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. and the number remains the same, 434-1790. You can send your WhatsApp to 266-4862, and I will have those WhatsApps sent over to me. In summary, let me say good morning and welcome to Sai over there in Canada, Barbadian living in Canada. Canada have been locked down for about, a year now. We've been locked down for, I think, earlier 2 weeks, and then it was extended, 6 weeks or so. And we're now preparing to take a pause for 2 weeks next month. So let's start with you, Sai. Let's hear your thoughts on all that's been going on here in Barbados, as you would still have your interests here and there in Canada.
Good morning. Good morning, Corey. Dennis, VOB team. First of all, I'd like to shout out everyone in the chat. We don't get to do this very often, so here goes to Basarock, Caribbean Woman 3, CD Dreaming, Ego 11, Gallibor, Mahus, New York 212, Peony and Portmout, Pringles, and anyone else. I just want to say hi and good morning. These people really do make our day here sometimes. But with respect to what has been happening, we've been pretty much on the wraps here in Canada for the last year. Some places have been open and then closed again. And lately, the last thing that has happened here in Ontario is that we are pretty much shut down again. I just want to say something that at the beginning of last year, the Canadian government spent a lot of taxpayers' money to bring home citizens who were stranded in other countries because of the COVID virus. Then what they did is that they kept asking people and suggesting people to stay at home. The border with America is closed, of course, to non-essential travel. And they've been asking people to stay home and to wear your PPE and do all of these things. But, and this has been both the federal and the provincial government. What has happened lately, I think this week, is that now they've said that they will not allow anyone to come into the country unless they've had a valid test that is, I think, 3 days, maximum 3 days before they travel. And then they have to quarantine for 14 days at a facility or a hotel or wherever that is monitored by the government, as well as it will now be possibly at your own expense. So hint to the Barbados government, at your own expense. If you decide that you're going to travel from here, first of all, you got to have 14 days to deal with and the money to cover any additional expenses or whatever that might happen. So I would like to say to the people of Barbados, look, just take a deep breath and relax, okay? Every person that you see and that you come in contact with, assume that they could possibly be positive. And if you wear your mask and stop putting your hand and touching it on your nose and pulling it up every 2 seconds, which I see a lot of people do, and are aware of the fact that, you know, as soon as you come in or get into back into your house or wherever, wash your hands and that kind of thing, and just follow what the government and the people, the medical people, are asking you to do. Any shutdown and lockdown and all of that will be useless unless after you come out of that, you stringently enforce monitoring, testing, and confinement of incoming cases. So if a person is in a hotel and they want to, you know, slip somebody a couple notes so they can get out and so on, you, the people there, have to be prepared not to be tempted by such actions and say, look, nope, you stay put, because as soon as you get out into the community, you can potentially be putting us all in danger and killing all of us. I just want to harken back quickly to something I heard on there a few weeks ago, and this was what I'd like to say is to the accountant who was enjoying the hospitality of Harrison's Point, unless that individual is working for the Ontario government or a federal government agency here, or an organization like CSIS or the RCMP, she would not lose her job or be fired because of COVID-19 complications and delays to her travel. That is a fallacy, and the gentleman who was, you know, crying and giving us the sob story on the radio, you come to Barbados every year, but sir, I want to say, I want to come to Barbados. For the last year, I've wanted to come to Barbados, and I have had to learn to control myself and stay put in my house. We talk about not being able to be, to accommodate and to modify our behavior with respect to the restrictions. The only analogy I will bring to that is that all of us, if ever we are convicted of a serious crime and we have to go to jail, we adapt. You know, a guy who was in jail for 5 years might have never had any incarceration experience before, but you learn to adapt. You learn to live with it. And the same thing with this virus. We will learn to do the things that we are told to do. Otherwise, we will make a lot of our loved ones sick and we die. And or you know, we are incapacitated for a long period of time. You got any questions for me?
Well, just on your last point, and that is in prisons, as far as I'm aware, there's an induction section for those who can't adapt. And that is why for those people who are finding it difficult to adapt, I did agree in the beginning when we started out on this whole journey, this COVID journey, where we would have persons on the radio and across the media to kind of share tips with people on how to adapt. Because the difference between us and the dinosaurs is supposed to be our ability as human beings to adapt. So we will adapt or we will go extinct. Some people suffer a lot of psychological damage and depression and so on through this thing. And I think that we just need to make sure that we have strong mechanisms. Because for me, in Barbados, we put those mechanisms on paper. We take that box and say, boy, we got the mechanisms. But the way they're implementing, the way they're actually actioned and carried out is where the concerns are. But everything else you said, I think, was just a timely reminder to everyone in terms of the seriousness of where we are. When we start to take these measures, beyond the measures themselves, I think it is the message that the measures send to the population. Look, hey, people, what? This ain't a poo-poo thing. You know, like, once we started to see some signs coming out to the end of the year, the 30th, the 31st of December, I think the ante was turned up a little, but right now they notch back off. So now people understand, listen, as the things that you say, assume everyone that you come in contact with is the possibility of having the COVID, wear your mask, stop pulling at your nose, et cetera, et cetera. Those are things we said from the beginning. But as human beings, we, you know, start to tune out and again adapt to our surroundings. I think that all that has happened between yesterday and now, I think that the ante, as I said, has been turned right up for everybody. Everybody knows, whoa, you understand? It's time to pull back the horse. I want to thank you from us
here in British. Yeah, yeah. One more quick thing I want to say. You there? This thing about...
I was sending some warm for you, but go ahead. So I'm sending you some sunshine here from Barbados as you go. But close up with your point.
Yeah, send me some sunshine and some Remy White and I'll be a happy man. I just finished shoveling snow, but we had a terrible, well, not a terrible, but we had some heavy snow last night and the temperature is supposed to get really terrible on the weekend. But a quick thing about masks, just putting a piece of cloth and or some piece of junk around your mouth and around your nose. I mean, people stop that crap, okay? We talk about airborne, but what I want to say is that anybody who's been in a cold climate and you come outside out of a warm area into the cold and you breathe out and you see that mist, that smoke. The first time it happened to me here in Canada when I first came here, I was worried. I thought I was like, well, I don't smoke. I thought I was smoking. But the reason I mention that is that so that people understand that every time you exhale, you have that fine mist that comes out of your nostrils or out of your mouth or wherever. And if a person is positive and not necessarily symptomatic, this is what you're getting coming out. So you know, tell, let these people understand, put that mask on, and it stops you from exhaling that fume out into the atmosphere that people will come in contact with, and it also stops you from inhaling theirs. So the mask is very necessary to cut that method of transmission, or to help reduce it as much as possible. I just want to say to everybody in Barbados that I wish you well. And I really wish all of you were here to help me shovel this snow. And, you know, minus 20 degrees expected by Saturday is going to be tough to handle. But hang in there, follow the instructions, and everything will be fine. You know, tomorrow the sun is going to shine, and, you know, the tides will rise and fall. And life goes on, because we, the human animal, will have to adapt. And that's the only way we will survive. Okay, thanks, Cor.
Thank you for coming through. That's Insight over Canada. Thanks to you. And again, shout out to everyone in the chat room. Okay, we go over to the main event, I would call it. Those in on the phone lines, the callers, the donor brass. That's good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I am fine, thanks to you.
Yeah,
and
good.
I hope you're well as well.
Yeah, no, I am. No, I mean, all right. All I have been trying to do for the past few months is to understand what this sickness is all about, or what it is that we are asking to take this big sacrifice over. And every opportunity to do so has always been shut down or overspoken or, you know, somehow derailed and distracted. So, I, you know, the way things go, I mean, I've been doing it before. I'm going to have to keep doing it until I get some kind of response that makes sense, because Mr. Ellis has had many opportunities to interview these people, and at no time has he ever been able to. Even no, at no time, not only him, but all the other journalists have at no time have actually tried to inquire as to what this thing really is. No, I mean, they tell you what the symptoms are, but they never give you any information as to how severely impacted the population of Barbados are with these symptoms and to what level. Because it could very well be that 100% of all the people in Barbados who are infected by this sickness only get a sneeze or a cough. We know that old people are having difficulty, but you know old people will have difficulty with just about any ailment once they are exposed to it. So that is not sufficient to go by, and you're shutting down based on that particular information. But how is this sickness really affecting Barbadians? How is it affecting the people at the prison? Over 300 people getting infected and nobody really got seriously ill, I mean, unless you had, of course, a condition that came before. That's the kind of information that people would need to know to assess whether or not these actions are being taken or in fact relevant. I asked a very simple question. What does recovered mean? And no one, not even the doctor that was in line just now, or the one, or the virologist on St. Peter, no one was prepared to give a proper answer to that particular question, because it probably will expose the truth as to what it is we're dealing with. Now, here's the thing that even becomes a little more stark. I've heard responses to this question of recovered that says, okay, it means, of course, that the people who actually got sick, on 100% of them who were confirmed, all of them are considered sick, and the recovered are the ones who actually are no longer sick with the virus. But if that were in fact so, November last year, when we had about 600 confirmed and 300 or 200 and something recovered, it would mean, of course, that you would have still had 300 and something sick, because that number did not change since March. And all them people that have been sick since March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, all of them would still have remained sick because the number of recovered did not improve to the number confirmed. So it means, of course, that the number recovered is not what people are saying it is. The number recovered is something completely different. And I think it is perhaps what it is I'm saying. Because I'm saying that you are not being considered sick unless, of course, you show symptoms. And if you're, in fact, dealing with a sickness that doesn't even show symptoms in 60% of the population, then therefore, why are we going through this process? You see, if you're going to have the shutdown and curfew and tell people, oh, it's only because of virulence, I cannot appreciate the fact that we have never had a situation before that there was a vector out there or an ailment that was airborne or something that could have caused a similar kind of impact on the hospital facilities in Barbados.
I want to take the opportunity to try and attempt to answer some of your questions. In relation to the shutdown, I would not think that the death, or the recent deaths, is what really would be the main element. It would be one of the elements that will cause the shutdown. Unless you don't see or people as dispensable, I think that everyone should have the opportunity to live out their full life, and we don't determine, well, this person can go, this person is valuable, this person, because we will have the same thing with in terms of people and classes. So I believe everyone should be able to have that healthy lifestyle and have the, you know, a well-being, a good life right through to the end. I would like to think that is a combination of community spread, having the new variant, the majority or the sounding like majority, the loud minority or the majority of Barbadians calling for the lockdown, along with the fact that 20% of the beds available in ICU or that are designated for this treating to serious COVID cases have been taken up, and you don't want to wait until you're overwhelmed. So the kind of pause, slow down, the reset would be to treat to the fact that the testing capacity has been stretched to the max, the personnel stretched to the max, the isolation centers reaching a point of concern, and those reasons combined, I would like to believe would be the reason for the slowdown, the pause, whatever you call it. Recovered. My understanding of recovered globally is what I would refer to what I believe to be the recovered here in Barbados. The recovered for me are the persons who go to isolation and then are released. Like yesterday, I was on the phone with someone at the center and I heard in the background somebody shouting, well, 14 or 18 going out in the morning. I would like to think those are the ones recovered. They're positive. They've passed their next two tests. Now they're negative. Therefore, they are the recovered ones. So there are many people in the society who may have caught COVID without any symptoms, recovered, and they will not count as the recovered on the dashboard. I would like to think the persons who test positive go into isolation and then get two negative tests and say, look, go through that door. You clear, you free, you discharge. That those are the persons who are counted as recovered. Now, that may not carry as much currency as Dr. X or Dr. Y, because I'm very sorry that the doctors did not answer you. I have no control over that. But to my mind, following what I've seen going on around me, that is what I would call recovered. And I don't know if that is to your satisfaction, sir. Okay, next call. Bastats, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning, welcome.
Yes, first let me congratulate you on your answer to the caller prior to myself. You did an excellent job. You, without being a doctor, you're wise beyond your years, so you handled it quite well.
Oh dear, thank you. Say it again.
No, that is what is described as intelligence, because you don't necessarily have to be an expert in the given area to have an analysis of what is going on and present an answer in a that makes logical sense and based on the evidence. And that's what you've done. So you are intelligent.
Thank you, sir.
Let me get to my point. I thought that the doctor that was interviewed by Mr. Ellis this morning made good sense. She said more than a mouthful. She's given a comprehensive information. She's given comprehensive information in relation to the virus and what's going on and how wide we need to pause. On the other hand, I can't wrap my head around what Mr. Ed Clark was saying. I mean, it seems almost, yes, the economic aspect is important to a country. But if you do not take action, like the pause that we are now taking, what is going to happen? Aren't the Barbadian and people the greatest resources at all level? Aren't they the people who keep businesses afloat and who continue to allow businesses to be in business? From that aspect, and also the fact that yes, the protocols are in place to help, but not even the vaccines, Corey, are the experts are now telling you that after a vaccine, you can still pass the virus, you can still contract it again, you can all those things. So really and truly. What a vaccine would is suggesting that it's doing is giving those people giving you an opportunity to fight to some degree, just like what the flu vaccine would do. But I'm not getting into the NRA vaccine and that whole new stuff. That's another subject for another time. But conventionally, a vaccine really does give the immune system a head start. and allow the antibodies within the immune system to fight whatever the invader is. And that is what basically a vaccine would do. So that's going to help. But primarily, the immune system, if you feed it with nutrition, what we do, that's why we eat food, why we eat protein, to build muscle, we eat, it's to feed that part of the body, which is God-given, the immune system, to make sure it is strong enough and powerful enough to fight invaders. And that is an area that we need to be more conscious of, and we need to work on and do it.
I'm going to jump in here with you on this, because this is something from the beginning. You've been hearing this on the periphery of the discussion throughout building the immune system. There were actually pictures showing you shelves in supermarket, and it was not pictures to depict this. It wasn't purposely done, where the toilet paper shelves are completely empty and the vitamin C shelves are packed. And I think there's a irony in that. But I think that the health professionals have really given up on the whole idea of building the immune system. Because when you look at a lot of the viruses, when you look at a lot of the NCDs, it speaks to prevention through healthy lifestyles, taking your vitamins, your minerals, and so on. I saw a study coming out of the university here, which showed that, even though it was CDC, 80% of the world's population are under, they're malnourished, they don't carry the type of minerals and vitamins that they need. When you look at the world case of HIV, and it's an immunodeficiency disease, it is a disease that speaks to the immune system. All that those cocktails are really the vitamins and minerals that the average person should be taking, you know. But you've never heard people talk about build up the immune system. I think that just like how they give up with abstinence and they say, look, they use a condom. I think that the professionals, the educators, the communicators have given up on building the immune system. They just feel that people just ain't gonna do it. They have to eat the chafet and the Kentucky. They can't eat the fruits and vegetables. And they don't have the acquired taste for it. So I think that they're just that boat sailed for them. But I think that the right information, I think that they may be able to do it, to make that decision.
Corey, you just graduated with distinction. You just move up from being, you got a PhD now in intelligence and good sense. Huh?
And
that's not flattery. I'm not trying to flatter you. I have nothing to give for telling you this. I'm just being truthful and give you an honest opinion because you're making so much sense. Look, we have resources at cheap rates. I mean, they're foodstuffs that average dog Joe can have access to that would give him that fighting chance, that extra fighting chance. And if I may say here for a moment, in a comment by the anti-American, which he's been floating for quite a while, he's been saying as though the elderly, those are the ones who you should put aside and set them aside. They're children who get sick with cancer from age 6 and 8 and 10 years old. You don't have to be old to be immune compromised and therefore putting you at risk of being a victim of the COVID-19. So to say that all this thing, as long as the big countries who have intense resources and capacity to do, outfit everybody with a N95 mask, they are still taking measures to shut down. And what you're doing is you're giving an opportunity to go in there and see who are actually and allow to reduce the amount of people. And if you have less people out there with the virus, the less likelihood of a bigger spread. And I'm going to end here by saying the first shutdown we had, it is my belief that the virus was really not out there in the community. It was we were dealing with it when it's imported. If you're finding the people, you're sending them to Harrison Point and so on, and you were keeping it within a confined area. So there was people are assessing that and saying, it's like when a hurricane comes in and, you know, nothing happens and say, well, you make us bet this, you make us do this, and all the consequences are there for nothing. When in fact, all you were doing is having a good preparation and doing what you should be doing. Expect the unexpected. Preparing for what is expected. All right?
Well, no, sorry. You're talking about me, but you're making some wonderful points as well. I want to go back to the point you made about the senior citizens. For me, the danger in that is that when you look at the deaths are not only 70 and over. And when you see a 70 and over, and although I understand that they're vulnerable, it says to those 69 and under, it sends us a message to them, whether directly or subliminally, that they're okay. You know, 70 and over, you stay inside. The rest, you know, we're not okay.
But listen, There you go. You're convincing me that I'm more than correct in the compliments I paid you earlier.
Three times can't be a fluke.
There you go.
Take
care.
4 minutes after 11 o'clock, you're listening to Brand Stats. As we go to the next call, my question would be this whole idea of the door-to-door testing. I want to hear some commentary on that from some of the callers, if they have any opinion on that.